So, as we turn to the beginning of, the very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, so we have a bunch of questions. So, one of the people that I'm fond of in my shul of quoting is Rav Vital Radinsky, is a sefer Mishkan Betzalel. And his, it's not as pronounced in his Sfarim, but if you listen to his Shirim, that are, many of them are available online through the Or Ruvain app. So his Mahalchus, he asks many questions, 3, 4, 5 questions, and he answers them all with one thing that one never noticed before. He's then able to go back and answer all the questions. So over in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha is a very nice example, A, of his Mahalch, and B, of a wonderful lesson as well. So parts of this, I think we've learned, we've done in shul before, but I think as a whole, it's a whole brief shir we've done before. So the pasuk tells us in the beginning, Hashem says to Avram, Lechacham yartzacham yulatacham yisavif el arz yisharecha v'eschal goy gadol v'varecha v'agadla shemecha v'yei berecha. So Hashem tells Avram, you're going to go from your land of your birthplace to the land and the land of your father to the place that I'm going to show you, and you're going to become into a great nation, and you'll be blessed, and you'll become great, and your name will be for a blessing. So Chazal tell us that this traveling was one of the tests that Avram had. Avram had 10 tests. The Mishnah tells us that Avram had 10 tests, but he leaves us a little bit hanging as to what those 10 tests were. Right, so there are many opinions within the Rishonim as to what those 10 tests are. So this is clearly one of them. There is a dispute about whether the throwing into the furnace was one of the tests. But this is for sure one of those tests, either the first or the second of them. And just wondering about whether this should even be a test in the first place is a bit of a question. Right? Why is this even considered a test? Is moving from place... So yes, it's true that moving from one place to another is sometimes difficult, right? It breeds anxiety. But generally, when people are moving from one place to another, they're moving because they have a job someplace else, right? So that often that move is filled with excitement. And here Hashem is telling Abraham that you have a job, right? Abraham is not hearing it from just anybody, that, oh, you're going to come here and everything's going to be wonderful. God told him, you come here and everything is going to be wonderful. So why is Avram traveling from the place of his birthplace to the land of Canaan considered a test at all, when it is Hashem promising him that everything is going to work out for the best? So that's question one. Question two is that why is this considered a greater test? Generally, we assume the tests either move up or this one is for sure getting credit. Why is this considered a greater test than the test of being thrown into the furnace, if it is. Although it seems like it is. Why is traveling place to place, again, with the guarantee of God that things are going to work out okay, why is that considered a greater test than being thrown into the furnace? Furthermore, there is a medrash. The medrash quotes this idea of lech lecha and puts it together with another time when Hashem uses the terminology of lech lecha, that being in preparation for Akedas Yitzchak. Hashem says to Avram, lech lecha el eretz ha-Moria. You're going to go to the land of Moria. And the medrash actually quotes those two, parallels them, and says, you know what, which one is greater? I wonder which one was a greater lechacha, which one was a more difficult lechacha, which one was more impressive. And the Medrash concludes and says, well, I think El Eretz HaMoria, when there is an end space, when there is actually a destination, that is considered a greater move or more impressive move, whatever that means. But the Gemara, but it struggles, right? It has a question. So why is that even a question, right? One of them, he is being told, you're going to travel to another place and you're going to meet into a great nation. In the second one, he is told, you're going to travel to a place and I am going to destroy any hope that that nation has. Right? I'm going to tell you to kill the hope that that nation has and that you're going to kill Yitzhak. That's the implication there. So why are these two things, in terms of their difficulty, being compared? Okay, so what? We're up to 3, 4? I lost track. But the next question is, from the Gemara in Maseches Psachim. The Gemara in Maseches Psachim says that goes through this pasuk. It says Veschal Goy Gadol, you're going to make him to a great nation. That is the comparison to being called Elokei Avram over the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Vavaracha, you're going to get a blessing. That's referring to Elokei Yitzchak. Veagadcha Shemecha, right, and your name is going to be great. That's for that we are hinting through the idea of being Elokei Yaakov. However, then there's one more word in that pasuk. right? Ve'yei bracha. It says, and it will be for a blessing. So what is that indicating to us? Becha chosmen ve'ein chosmen v'kulan. That with you, we're going to do the chasima. We're not going to do the ending of the parsha of the bracha with everybody else. Meaning, this is referring to the first bracha from an Esrei, right? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Seinu. Okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzhak, okay, Yaakov, and then we continue on throughout the bracha. And how do we conclude it? Baruch atah Hashem. Magen Avraham, right? And only Avram. So where is that coming from? What happened to Yitzhak and Yaakov, right? Yitzhak and Yaakov should be standing on the side with their hands on their hips, going, what happened to us, right? They're saying, well, it's hinted to in this pasuk that Avram is going to be the only one that is going to conclude that bracha. So, I mean, that's a question that we should ask every time we say Shemona Esrei, right? If we make reference to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, why do we seal the bracha by only mentioning Avram? Furthermore, there is a medrash that he quotes that says along the lines of that bracha, where he says, "Amar Rav Yudin, koveyani lacha bracha b'Shemona Esrei." Rav Yudin says that I'm going to establish for you, meaning Hashem said to Avram, I'm going to establish for you a bracha in Shemona Esrei, but it's unclear whether your bracha is going to come first or my bracha is going to come first. Meaning, right? And what happened? But that yours is going to come before mine, meaning Avram's is going to come before mine. That the first bracha we say in Shemona Esrei is a reference to Avraham, right? Magin Avraham, even though it's really a reference to Hashem, but Magin Avraham, Avram is invoked. And the second bracha, Shemona Esrei, is Mechai Mason. So it almost seems like Avram bargained for that. Avram said, listen, we will have a deal if my bracha is first. So why is Avram trying to make sure? Why is it important that the bracha of Avraham come before the bracha of Mechai Mason? Right? Those are the 5 or 6 questions, and we're going to answer them all. He actually has a few more in here having to do with Hagar and Yishmael, but we'll leave those, because that's not in this parak, it's in a different parak. And he says, and the answer that he gives is, Yish shtei drachim v'avodas Hashem. That really there are two general ways in avodas Hashem. There's two reasons for doing mitzvos. Anybody think? What would be the two reasons for doing mitzvos?
Hashem says so, or makes sense according to.
Very good. Very good. There are some mitzvos that Hashem does that we do because He said so, and we don't necessarily understand why. And some of them we do because we make sense. Now, all of them, in theory, should be done because Hashem told us to, but some of them make more sense than others. Right? Some of them make more sense than others. So, until now, until the parsha of Lech Lecha, right? What was Avram? What was the style of Avram's avodas Hashem? So the way we understand what was Avram's moment when Avram became frum, right? What was his Baal Tshuva moment, right? Where did it start? So the Medrash describes where it started. That it gives a mashal of a person that was going from place to place, and he sees one castle that is lit up. So Amar Tomar Shabirazu below Manhig. So he says, is it possible that there's this whole castle and there's no one in charge? I mean, obviously, by the fact that there is a light on in the place, there's somebody in charge of the place. Right? Heitzitzalav Bal Habira Amar Lo Anihu Bal Habira. So out comes the owner of the castle and says, oh, I'm the owner of the castle. So too, Shahayav is a medrash from Medrash Rabbah. So too with Avram. Hitzislav Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Kachlefi Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu Avraham. Omer Tomer Shaol Mazeh Belo Manik. Is it possible that this world is ruling without a person in charge? So Hitzislav Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Lo Anihu Bal Olam. So out comes the Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, "Oh, I'm the person in charge." Right. But what is that medrash indicating to us? What was the motivation for Avram in the beginning? The motivation for Avram was, it makes sense, right? It makes sense that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be in charge, and therefore I'm going to do mitzvos because they make sense to do. Hayal Gamri al pi Seichel, the entire start was all based on Seichel, right? So when Hashem comes to Avram and says, I want you to go. I want you to leave this place, and I want you to go someplace else. What was that? So that was the first step in, you're going to go again, Seichel. Avram is in a place. He's being very successful in the place. He's running a wonderful kiruv operation, a Chabad house, a shul, whatever it is. It's busting at the seams. And Hashem comes to him and says, oh, I want you to leave all this, and I want you to go someplace else. So it doesn't make any sense. So that is the first time that Avram has... So Avram is not being tested in the difficulty of it. Avram is being tested in, is he willing to go along with it, even though it doesn't make sense to him. That was his first step in Avodas Hashem, right, where he is simply doing it because of Nasa V'Nishma. That I'm doing it because Hashem told me so, to, rather than that makes sense to me. So we could start answering a few questions here, right? Why is it then that this is considered a greater test than being thrown into the Kivshan Eish, than being thrown into the fire? So the truth is, it's not in this essay, but I've heard Rev Verdinsky on other tapes talk about this. Because being thrown into the fire is a... makes sense. Being thrown into the fire is... Avraham recognized that there is a God. He believed in monotheism. And he's being told, worship idols, otherwise you're going to be killed. Right? So it makes...
So he knows that, or he knows that that's a possibility, that he's going to be, or that he's going to be killed.
Well, I mean, there's different, as we learned last week, there's different versions to that medrash, exactly what was going on. But whatever it is, Avram is being punished for his belief. So people throughout history have been punished for their belief, right? I believe something very strongly, and if you're going to make me go against my moral beliefs, I'm ready to die rather than go against my moral beliefs. Forget about going according to my moral beliefs. People are willing to die just for the freedom to have moral beliefs. Right, that's what we see today. Right, that people are willing to do that. So that, although it is a difficult thing to do, right, I'm not mitigating the challenge involved with Avram doing it, but it at least made sense that he would do it. Right, that if he believes in it very strongly. So, and beyond that, worshipping Avodah Zarah would be meis to him. Right, that's disgusting. Right, you want me to do Avodah Zarah? I'm doing Avodah Zarah. Right, so that all goes according to the trajectory of his life. It would include not listening to Nimrod and being ready to risk his life rather than to worship idols. But when Hashem tells him to go to something, even though he's promising him all the good things at the end, it doesn't make sense for him to leave. And yet he does it anyways, so that is the beginning of Avram's path of Nasa V'Nishma Avram rather than just everything, Mitzvos HaSeichel Avram. Right, and then we continue on. Right, that the idea of going to Har Moriah, right, is the same type of Nisayon. Right, that we can understand how going to Canaan and going to Har Moriah, although they're different levels, right? One of them is about going to a place where I'm going to make you into a great nation. The other place is going to a place where you're going to kill your only son, or the only son that you think is going to become this great nation, right? They're both keneged haseichel. They are both going against what the assumptions would have been in terms of the way that Avram, in terms of the trajectory of Avram. So therefore they are both comparable. Right? They're comparable in that they're both changes in doing what the otherwise were ready to do. And now we can go back to the brachos, right? This whole business with the brachos that we have. Okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. Avram made sure, Avram, so to speak, seemed to make sure that his name is going to be the end, is because the avos, the avos were all were about this, that moving from the seichel to moving on. But who was the first one to set that trend in terms of Avram Yisrael and Yaakov was going to be Avram. So although we mention all of them and invoke all of them in doing these mitzvos, because Avram is the one to start it, so therefore Avram is going to be mentioned first as the trendsetter for all of these things. What's more interesting is the next step, right? Between Bracha, Magin Avram, and Mechai Mason, right? We said that Avram sort of negotiated that his Bracha was going to be first before the Bracha of Mechai Mason, right? So what is the Bracha of Mechai Mason? So the Bracha of Mechai Mason is, right, serve Hashem because right? He does these incredible, amazing things, right? And therefore, what? That's a mitzvah seichel, right? That is a mitzvah seichel idea, right? Do it because it makes sense. Who is the first person to ever have tchiyas hamesim? Right? So, Rav points out, it's not exactly tchiyas hamesim, but Avraham, right? Avraham was put into the furnace, presumed to be killed, right? And he was able to live afterwards, right? Now, what happens after that happens? Right, we don't necessarily hear the story afterwards, right? Avram didn't have to leave right away, but presumably Avram was there. He continued building his constituency, continued working on building his following, the monotheistic religion, and he's working and working and working and working, right? And what was his number one selling point to recruit people for his yeshiva?
Living after the
storm. Yeah! Right, come meet the guy that was thrown into a fiery furnace and was saved because God deemed that he should be saved. And because God is all-powerful. Right, so that was his number one selling point. That's how he was getting people into the yeshiva. Right, and now he's moving on and going on to Lech Lecha. But how is he recruiting them? The recruitment tool was, come, and I'll explain to you not just the reason that I was saved, but the reason that I was saved is because there's this God, and this God runs the world, and this God is more powerful than all of the other Avodah Zarahs in the world. And therefore, it makes a very good sense that you should come close to this God, because that God is really where all the power is, as opposed to all these other gods that aren't really going to do very much for you at the end of the day anyways. Right? So, that makes sense. But ultimately, we aren't religious only because it makes sense. That might be what motivates us. It might give us some extra chizuk. It might give us some extra strength in overcoming some of the challenges that we confront. But ultimately, we do Torah mitzvahs not because they make sense, but rather because Hashem told us to do them. So therefore, the first bracha is about recognizing the Kadosh Baruch Hu and doing mitzvahs because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so great. Right, doing mitzvahs because there's not just because I understand it, but just by the very fact that there is this great God, I'm going to listen to everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says. That's bracha aleph. Hashem does right bracha bezes. Oh, and Hashem, because you do them, there's going to be a payback. There's going to be this tchias hamesim, and you're going to get rain in the right place, and all of that is in parak bez. But the starting point is not, I'm doing mitzvahs because I get reward. I'm doing mitzvahs because they make sense to me. I'm doing mitzvahs because my parents told me I better do it, otherwise I'm going to get in trouble. I do mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do mitzvahs. And that's not bracha beis, that's bracha aleph. And that's the stage that Avram Avinu got to, right? He was able to get beyond the, it makes sense. He was able to move to the, I do what Hashem tells me to because it's the right thing to do, and I'm ready to do whatever Hashem tells me, regardless of any type of payback or any type of punishment or any type of ultimate reward. Right? That's bracha A. Bracha B is, for the extra motivation, sometimes I look to the idea that there's tchias hamesim and rain and wealth and all the things that come up in Perek Beis. There is, I once read a line, and I'm not sure where I read it, but one of the books by Rabbi David Aaron, he makes the point that oftentimes, right, we try to figure out tamei hamitzvos. We try to figure out what are the reasons for mitzvos, what are the reasons, and try to come up with all these proofs, etc. But ultimately, right, so to the point that we kind of make up to ourselves, well, obviously it made sense all along, it just needed Torah to uncover it, or it needed man to uncover it. But if Torah wouldn't have uncovered it, ultimately the wisdom of man would have uncovered it as well. So if that's going to be the attitude, that everything is there simply because it makes sense, so then you don't really need a Torah. Right? You don't need a Torah, because man could have figured it all out on his own anyways eventually. We need a Torah to tell us that, no, even though it might not make sense to you, that's when you really need a Torah, and that's when one might need further emunah. So that, I think we got all the questions here, right? Why is the fire not as big of a deal? Well, it's not as big of a deal because that was a natural progression as opposed to lechacha, which was a unnatural progression. What about Hashem's promise of greatness? Yeah, Hashem might have promised greatness, but it still was keneged haseichel, and therefore it was difficult. The comparison to Hara Moriah doing the Akedas Yitzchak, yeah, they're very, very similar, right? Because they're both in the direction of something that... they're both doing things that seem absurd, that seem like that they shouldn't be doing it. And
should we say Lechacha is greater than Hara Moriah?
No, Lechacha is comparable to Hara Moriah, but it's greater than being thrown into the fire at Or Kasdim.
What about the comparison between Akedah and going to Tanakh?
All right, so he said ultimately that's considered greater and more impressive because that's heading someplace, but the Medrash scratches... I mean, I'm asking why does the Medrash even ask the question,
uh-huh.
Right? So they're both along the same lines of doing things that don't seem to make any sense. And why is it that it's Magen Avram? Because it's all emanating from... Even though Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all represented this, it's all emanating from Avram. And why is it that that's the first bracha? Because our starting point is not we do things that make sense. Our starting point is we do mitzvahs Hashem told us to, and bracha number two could be further encouragement as to why we do it, but the starting point really is bracha number one.
Okay. So how do we understand the next pasuk after he's telling him to go somewhere, some unidentified place, but in the second pasuk, he is giving him motivation to go there.
Yeah, that's fine. So that's besides the point.
Is that the we're getting back to the or getting in his head about the
sense? No, because it doesn't make sense. Why do you need me to go there to get great wealth and to get a lot of students? I'm over here, and over here I already have great wealth and great students.
Okay.
It could be that Hashem did the cheshbon and knew the level that Avram was at, and that's the right challenge that Avram needed.
Okay.
I mean, you're right, it is a little questionable. If Hashem really wanted to prove this point, he should have just told Avram, go to Canaan, and it's going to be a famine, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be difficult, and but I'm telling you to do it anyways.
Or just have him go.
Right, he could have...
He could have,
right. Why is it even necessary? So maybe that was necessary for Avram. I don't know, I don't think I ever saw anybody that... dealt with that. But in terms of why is it considered a challenge when Hashem is giving all of those promises, no, it's still a challenge because it doesn't seem to make sense. Okay? We'll stop here and pick up tomorrow with Perek Yud Gimel.